If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it.
Hey, you guys, we are back with another episode of Sorry Not Sorry podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. And if you are all caught up with the first two episodes, this is episode 3, welcome back. So I want to announce that Sorry Not Sorry podcast is now available on Apple Podcasts. For those of you who are not really fucking with Anchor, I get so many people like, oh, it's not playing, or I can't rewind, so I have to watch all over from the beginning again because, you know, a lot of people don't want to download the Anchor app, which is cool. But it's now on Apple Podcasts, and I was told that if you just say, hey, Siri, play Sorry Not Sorry podcast, after you download Apple Podcasts, supposedly it will pop up. I haven't tried it yet, so anyone listening, can you try and let me know if it works? But it's also on Google Podcasts, Breaker. I'll give you guys, if you DM me, a list of all the places it's been distributed by Anchor to make it easier for you. And I want to give a quick shout-out to 7 people who are the first sponsors of Sorry Not Sorry podcast. My best friend Ashley, my cousin Tiana, my ride or die Fatia, my bro Trey, my bro Damo, Crystalline, and my sister Ayana. You guys are awesome. If you guys are interested in sponsoring my podcast, go to anchor.fm/sorry-not-sorry. And you can do, it's a monthly donation from 99 cents or $4.99 or $9.99, whichever one fits your budget for the month. But it would just help me sustain, you know, future episodes. I want to start getting some merchandise, some t-shirts, some hats, something. So I need some help because this shit ain't cheap. So if you fucking with it, you know, help me out. And speaking of support, that is what today's episode is all about. We are talking about supporting Black-owned businesses. I don't have no fancy intro for it. We're going to just jump right into it. So for G's Two Cents, our first segment, I really want to speak about the importance of buying Black. Like, it's all over social media. And I want to address the fact that why do we as a Black community overall feel the need to put so many stipulations on our support of a Black-owned business, when just circulating a Black dollar should be enough? For example, I've seen and I've even heard people ask Black business owners questions like, you know, where's my money going? Are you donating to a cause? And don't get me wrong, these are valid questions, but I think why I have the issue is the fact that we don't ask those same questions anywhere else. You know, when y'all buying y'all Fashion Nova fits, your Yeezys, your Gucci, whatever you like, you purchased it because you liked it. No questions asked. When us females, we're buying our makeup from MAC or Sephora, we're not asking, you know, the sales associates, how much did the 8-year-old kid in the sweatshop get paid to make it? Let me add an addendum. I don't even know where the makeup is made, so I don't want anyone calling my DMs like, first of all, MAC is not even made in the sweatshop. It was a joke, so don't come for me. But the point is, we don't ask the sales associates these questions. We liked it, so we bought it. So how come when we see, you know, a small business, namely a Black one, you feel the need to question where your money is going? Why can't the money just go back into growing the business so that they can provide you with, you know, higher quality products, you know, higher volume, better customer service, or just a fucking living for the person who's owning the business and their family? You know, what is with the stipulations we place on support of our own people? I'll give you another example. You know, there are people who want to haggle the price of items or services you receive from a Black-owned business. You know, why is it that we feel so comfortable asking Black business owners for discounts or for free things? You know, why do we feel so comfortable shortchanging each other? Because in essence, that's what we're doing. When we go to any other store, we don't ask for a hookup. When we get a white-owned service, Chinese-owned service, Latin service, we accept their prices as is. However, the more we see a Black-owned business thrive, I think the more free, quote-unquote free, we want. So my question is, how is the Black economy supposed to work if we don't put into it? Now, I'm not saying that you should support a Black-owned business just because they're Black. No, of course not. You need to do proper research, you know, regarding quality, price point, etc. I'm saying that you shouldn't ask things of Black businesses that you don't normally ask of others. And if you are going to support, just fucking support. You know, this is a time where everyone is against us as Black people, and we have got to stop being our own worst enemy. The next thing I want to get in this segment is why it's important to support Black-owned businesses. Now, a lot of these, I guess, points I came up with are, you know, are no-brainers. But, yeah, I know I don't like speaking about anything without facts. So I wrote down actual statistics because I just hate having an opinion and not having, you know, actual facts to back it up, because then it's just a personal opinion. And as I've said in previous episodes, that's something I try not to have. I try to take my personal feelings out of it, you know, and just be based off facts. So, one, it closes the racial wealth gap. You know, in our society, it has been proven that small businesses and entrepreneurs have been longtime wealth builders. So today, the median wealth for white families is about 12 times that for Black families, averaging to around $140,000. And one in four Black households have zero, you guys, zero, zip, or negative net worth compared to less than one in 10 white families without wealth. What's even more concerning is that it's projected by 2053, the median wealth for Black families is projected to fall to zero. So by supporting more Black-owned businesses, we can create more opportunities for meaningful savings, property ownership, credit building, and generational wealth, the shit Jay-Z and Beyonce been rapping and talking about. Two, the importance of supporting a Black-owned business, it strengthens local economies and the community. So if consumer spending accounts for 70% of the entire U.S. economy, imagine what directed some of that spending power to Black-owned businesses across the country can do. Imagine that. You know, 48% of small business purchases are recirculated locally compared to only 14% of what's circulated by chain stores. So supporting Black-owned businesses in turn supports families. This is a no-brainer. It supports families, employees, and other business owners, and it attracts community investors who provide, you know, banking services, loans, and promote financial literacy, all things that help build economic strength. As Black people, we have $1.3 trillion in buying power. Right now, currently, a dollar circulates in Asian communities for a month. In the Jewish community, approximately 20 days. And in the white community, 17 days. But in our own community, 6 fucking hours. So out of that $1.3 trillion buying power, only 2 cents of every dollar we spend in this country goes to a Black-owned business. I don't know about y'all, but that was concerning when I was looking up these stats. I'm like, oh, nah, that's a dub. Number three, you know, it creates more job opportunities. No, this is another no-brainer. Black-owned businesses are more likely to hire from the local community. So supporting them, you know, can foster job opportunities for people who need to achieve financial stability. Period. That's it. So the next thing I want to address in this segment are the stereotypes about Black-owned businesses. I don't want to laugh because some of these stereotypes, I am too victim of once saying. So when I talk about these things, I like to always say me. Not me. I just like to say we and not y'all. So y'all know that I'm part of that group too. So I just want to address, you know, some of these stereotypes. And I think we know what we're talking about. You know, the jokes and the statements that a Black-owned business will be bootleg or be poorly ran or be ghetto or is always out of a product it's supposed to have or it's unsafe. I think the most common ones is that the employees will be rude and always late. And all of this bullshit mainly isn't a Black thing. That's why it's bullshit. All this stuff is not a Black thing. These things can happen at any business ran by all types of people. So I wish we would stop nurturing these stereotypes and make excuses on why you can't support a Black business. If you had a bad experience at a Black-owned business, do like the white people do and cordially complain to the manager. Based on the outcome, then you can cut that business out of your life, however they deal with your complaint. You know, don't have that attitude of, see, this is why I don't support Black businesses. This is why I don't. Like, no, that one bad experience should not be your reasoning behind it, because then you're being ignorant. Like, that's period. And I think this is the final thing I'm going to address in my segment. Paperwork. I actually, when I was going over my outline for this episode, I actually decided to add this in because I've noticed that everybody in this world wants to be a business owner, but don't have the paperwork to back it up. And, you know, when starting a new business, I get it. We're eager to jump right in and start making our first sale or start throwing out a bunch of content. But before you get started, you need to complete paperwork. Like, I see so many people who have a business, but no paperwork to back it up. A lot of y'all listening that have a business don't even own the name of your brand. And it's important and necessary to obtain, you know, licensing and to register your business name. For instance, I own my media company. A lot of people didn't know that until I showed them the paperwork. Culture Connection Media Incorporated is a functioning corporation in New York State. That's official. I have a nice piece of paper that I'm going to get framed and hang it up in my apartment because it's an accomplishment for me. I don't got no employees yet, but it's still mine. And let me tell y'all, it's not necessary, you know, to spend hundreds of dollars to pay, you know, a lawyer or a company to create your business for you. It literally only took me a few forms online and literally less than $100 in fees to own my company. Depending on what state you live in, I live in New York, but it was literally less than $100. And whether you want an LLC or a corporation, you know, both documents typically include your company name, the purpose, a mailing address, and, you know, your principal officers, which would just be me because I don't have nobody working for me or anybody else involved. But, you know, if you don't know which business type is for you, I'll just quickly tell you the difference. Corporation and LLCs are different mainly in how they are taxed. Because corporations are separate entities, they are taxed at the corporate rate, while LLCs are taxed based on the total adjusted gross income of the owner. There are other differences, but most people go with LLCs when they're starting their business. But I don't really have enough time to get into the differences. But, you know, based on the needs of your business, when deciding which route you want to go, you know, think about what's best for you. I know for me, I chose to incorporate my business simply because it just allows me to establish credibility and professionalism. But that's just me. Also, I have an EIN for my company. For those of you listening who don't know, an EIN is just a 9-digit number the IRS assigns to your business, you know, for tax filing and reporting purposes. So any money that I spend in relation to my business, like, you know, paying for this podcast, especially now that I have sponsors, I can put that into a business account. Most banks require businesses to present an EIN to open any business account instead of using your social. So say you want to get some sort of permit or license to operate legally, for instance, a seller's permit or a zoning permit or a business license, you will need your EIN to apply for one. If you want to get a credit card strictly for your business, you need an EIN to apply for one. Having an EIN would allow your business, you know, to have an identity. So to apply for one, it's free. Let me just add that for you. I ain't got time to pay for that. It's fucking free. You apply for one, you go to the IRS website and you do it. Really simple. So basically, let's just stop throwing out we are business owners and actually in real life own our business. Because y'all would gag if someone really hated you and purchased the name of your company and ceased and deceased all your shit. So if you're listening, go online, do some research, own your business. And even if it's something that you don't think it's gonna be profitable, just owning it for yourself. It just feels good to be able to look like, I can just go on my email and look like, damn, that's me. I own that. That's mine. You know, that's how you become a real business owner. So get out there and do it. And stop with these dumbass stereotypes. Our next segment, Black Eminence. So for today's Black Eminence, I want to shout out one specific business, Black owned, mainly because of what it does for the youth. I'm a big advocate for the youth and the people, the generation coming after us. And this business is beautiful. It's very inspirational. LEAD, which is an acronym for Leaders Embracing Athletic Dreams, is an organization that, you know, basically connects the sort of discipline you have to undergo to be a successful athlete and applying it to who you are off the court or the field. So for the youth, that also includes their academics and nurturing them to be, you know, an overall well-rounded individual in today's society. You know, that's the goal of the organization. But the meat of what they do is helping the youth across all sports by offering, you know, mentorship as well as sports performance training, speed, strength, conditioning, all that good stuff that I don't do. But the founder and CEO is actually a friend of mine who I went to high school with. To give you a little background, Jeremiah Brown and I attended Grand Street Campus High School together. Specifically legal studies. He graduated with a full ride scholarship to play Division I football at Wagner College, where he earned degrees in sociology and education. He's educated at that. He then signed a 3-year deal to play professional football in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But he was forced to retire, you know, due to an injury. But that didn't stop or deter him because he has almost over 5 years of experience as a high school athletic director here in Brooklyn. And I'm probably going to say this word wrong. He is NASM certified in sports performance training and NSPA speed and agility certified and a level 1 certified track and field coach. He was also my gym trainer at one point, and let me say, I literally died every session with him. Like, I think the biggest accomplishment from training with him was I was able to, at one point, do 30 jumping squats straight through without dying. I can't do that now, but it was lit back then. But anyway, I just want to say, you know, I'm truly proud of him. If you're listening, Jeremiah, I'm very proud of you. And I think that what he is doing is beyond amazing, because we don't really do the work when it comes to our youth. We tend to project our own, you know, expectations and try to force them to do things that they aren't passionate about, things that we think they should be doing. You know, like if you're someone that's a creative, you have parents who say, you know, you need to do that in your spare time. You need to be a lawyer. You need to be a doctor. Things that they asses weren't themselves. But this organization, you know, is just simply taking something like sports and applying it into creating leaders, hence the acronym. So Lead to Me is super dope, and I fucks with it. And I think you should fuck with it, too. You can check them out online. The website is taketheleadllc.com or on Instagram at theleadathletics and support them. You know, buy a hoodie, pitch your kids in one of their summer sessions. Like, let's help each other. Seriously, it's dope. Let's create some leaders, y'all. The next segment, I want to get into asking for a friend. So actually, when I came up, I didn't come up with this episode. I actually was going to do this episode down the line. I had something else planned for today, but people just kept asking me about it. And people were sending me questions. Like, these weren't questions, but these are things they wanted me to address. So I kind of formulated them into questions to answer. So the first question was, what are some of the unique challenges that Black-owned businesses face? Now, again, I am not an expert. Let me just add an addendum. I am no expert. Anything I talk about is just my opinion. I am open for anyone that disagrees. Hit me in my DMs. Let's talk about it. But please do not think, you know, oh, Gian thinks she knows what she's talking about. She thinks she's so intellectual. I think I am intellectual, actually. But I don't think I know everything. This is just my thoughts and how I feel about things. And also, this is my podcast. So if you have your own views, get your own shit. Or you could come on mine so we could debate about it. That'd be a great episode. But back to the question. I think owning or trying to own your own business is challenging, period. That's enough. Entrepreneurship is probably, you know, one of the most difficult, yes, fulfilling tasks in the world to me as an entrepreneur. So I think when it comes to Black-owned businesses, you know, we experience the same typical challenges as any business, but we also have to take into account, you know, economic barriers that have affected us since slavery that makes our road to owning a business very unique. So, you know, like post-slavery, we were given the Freedmen's Bank, but it failed. We were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule, but the land was never truly partitioned. Then we have the Black Codes, which is something I spoke about in episode 2. Fuck the police. Go back and listen to refresh your mind. And that made it so African-Americans couldn't really develop sustainable businesses. So those codes developed into Jim Crow laws, which negated opportunities. So all of these like systems and rules that were put in place so that we couldn't own a business and experience generational wealth are unique to us because, you know, the Jews didn't have to deal with this, nor the Asian. And it just always comes back to slavery full circle. So when it comes to us owning our business, we're kind of behind. So we're still trying to create generational wealth while a lot of these other races already experiencing it. So we're always a few steps behind, and we're still in this race of trying to catch up. So that's the only difference I can see that would make it, you know, difficult for us of owning a business. The next question was, I don't know why I said it like that. What are some of the methods you think are the best way to support Black businesses? I think when we think support, we think monetary. You know, how much money we're willing to invest in a business. But there are ways you can support without spending money. Like, I know with me, I ain't got it like that. My money and my budget is tight. So if I spend money on someone's business, that's a big for me, you know. But if I can't spend the bread, I'll promote the business on my Instagram or even word of mouth so someone who has the means to purchase a product can do so. And I think we really underestimate the power of the mouth. Pause. Like, recommendations and the promotion of a business goes a long fucking way. Like, for those who have the money, just go out of your way to seek a Black-owned business that caters to whatever you're looking for. And I think this generation just hates doing research. Google is your best friend. There's actually a website, and I can't think of it right now, but there's a website that has a list of all, not all, but majority of Black-owned businesses in Brooklyn. And they, you know, they it's very easy. They sort it by, you know, fashion, design, like all types of restaurants, you know, a lot of things. And if you're that person who's really serious about supporting Black-owned business, go on Google and just look up something and go and experience it. And if it's a bad experience, let them be real with the manager. Like, hey, you know, this worker, I didn't really like it, but, you know, I'll still support. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that hard. It's not. It's not. So please, just do it. Just because. Next segment, tea spill. I don't have a specific story for Black-owned businesses. And not anything that I could be like animated and tell y'all. Like, I usually have some kind of crazy story in every episode. Today I don't. So instead of me just not having a tea spill, I say, you know what? Let me just take this time to shout out a few businesses that I know of. Now, I have some of these that I already know of that I already planned on shouting out, but then I also gave you guys the opportunity yesterday to send me your business, the contact, Instagram, website, whatever. What is it that you sell? What is it that you do? Like a 1 or 2 sentence log line of your brand. And probably about 2 people actually did it. So if you didn't, I don't want to hear, oh, Gian, why you didn't mention me? I gave y'all the opportunity. I did. And you failed. You fumbled. Because I can't, off the top of my head, I couldn't think of a lot of businesses. And I ain't got that much time on my show right now to be listing everybody. So, you know, if you really want to get a shout out, DM me your business. You still have time. And I post it on my Instagram, my personal one and my company one. No problem. But the first business, After Work Firm, is a Brooklyn-based consulting agency dedicated to developing their clients' crafts and or skills into a real profitable business. They help with budgeting, packaging design, everything with running a business. They do it. And you can find them on Instagram at After Work Firm. Taco Africana. Yes. I don't know. I like that. Taco Africana is a pop-up restaurant that specializes in African tacos. I love tacos. Like, I don't think I understand. Like, that is one, you know how you eat something, you say, oh, what am I in the mood for? And it's something that you'll normally eat all the time. You're like, I'm not in the mood for that. I would never ever say I'm not in the mood for tacos. I love tacos. And I'm not familiar with African food, so I would love to actually experience this and tell y'all about my experience with them. But the guy, I know him, we went to high school together. He's so fucking funny, y'all. He's hilarious. But I would love to see that blend of African dishes into tacos. But they offer catering and event services. You can find them on Instagram at Taco Africana. And he's also made a few appearances. And I think he was on Channel 12 News. They actually did an interview with him. And I think it's dope. Like, that's good. Really good. Shout out to you. The next business I want to talk about is another thing that's for the youth. Highly anticipated dance team. They are a Brooklyn-based dance company that consists of kids and young adults ages 6 to 21 that specialize in hip-hop, majorette, lyrical, and modern dance. You can find them on Instagram at highly_anticipated_DC. Funny story with them. I know I said I didn't have a story, but I have a story with them. So I was working at a school and Best-Eye for about, because y'all know I was job hopping in the beginning of this year, for about 3 weeks. And one of the girls got really nasty with me. Like, it was funny, though, because she cursed me out in a way where it was like, damn, she sounded like me when I was in middle school. But let me hear how karma came back. Come to find out, she dances with this group. And the owner of the company is actually a girl I used to dance with. And shouts to Jelly. And me and her used to dance together. So when I found out she was her coach, I DM'd her on Facebook like, girl, I don't want to say no name. She gonna curse me out, girl. She said, who? She said, I got you. I'm going to get her in practice. Next day, I came to school. I got to the school, and I pulled out of class like, now what if I was one of them judges at All Stars or one of them judges at them competitions, and you cursed me out? Like, you don't even know who I am, but look how involved, like, you know, how people know people. I said, you need to watch that. I said, and I told her, you know, I apologize if you felt like I was coming at you. I said, I'm not even mad that you came at, like, you cursed me out. I said, I'm not mad about that. I feel like you had a right to defend yourself. But I think what the issue was, you wasn't even sure if I was coming at you. You just went with your first emotion, which is fine. She's in middle school. You know, that's what we all did. But, you know, she apologized. She's a sweet girl, you know. And I also had to check myself, like, damn, was I coming at that little girl? I don't recall. But anyway, support them, you know, get your kids in there, let them audition. But I was a dancer growing up, so I think it's really fun for the youth. The next business is Tiana's Tasty Delights. It's a Brooklyn-based bakery that specializes in all sweet treats for events. This is my cousin Tiana, and I've had her cupcakes. She makes her own frosting. Like, she doesn't just make the cupcake and put some rinky-dink frosting on top of some sprinkles like most people do. She makes her own frosting. Like, she makes it from scratch. And, y'all, it's good as fuck. And I'm not just saying that because I know her. Like, when she first started this business, like, she never even told me about, I didn't even know she could bake, first of all. I didn't know anything about this. I just know one day she said, follow my Instagram page. I followed it. Then she had business cards. Then she was getting booked. Like, people were booking her. I'm like, hold the fuck up. This bitch could bake. And I didn't know. Like, I like to eat. Had one of her cupcakes. And I looked at her like, bitch, you've been keeping this a secret from me after all these years. But it's good. You know, she can personalize any dessert to go with any theme. I've seen her take a simple theme and make it so extravagant. It's dope. You can find her on Instagram at Tiana's Tasty Delights. So, for unisex casual and streetwear, you need to shop First Class Collection. This is by my good sis, Sydney. Shout out to you. And they have really dope clothes. And she has a lit-ass slogan that says, you can pay for school, but you can't buy class. Their website is thefirstclassstore.com. And her Instagram is at firstclassco. And I actually wore one of her shirts my first podcast episode. You go on my Instagram at gion.mc, J-I-O-N-N-E. And my first episode I did with my friends on What About Your Friends, I had on that gray shirt, and it was actually a nice picture, that famous picture that went around at the Roc Nation brunch where all the rappers, all the millionaire rappers took a picture together. It was like a Black Excellence, Men Excellence picture. That was her shirt. I actually won it in a raffle she did. She did like a social media competition, and I won. And her clothes, her material is good. Her clothes are dope. She does a lot of giveaways, so make sure y'all follow her. She does a lot of giveaways. She has a ladies' night tee with powerful Black women, and it's a dope brand. It's very unique. So for anyone, all those people out there who like to put fits together, you will definitely find something in her collection that will go with whatever outfit you're trying to do. You can dress it up. You can dress it down. She is dope. And she's very professional as a business owner. Ratchet as fuck with me, but professional as a business owner. And I love that. I love how people have that distinction. They can switch it up. So shout out to you. So I looked up this next business, and I don't even know if I'm saying it right. I didn't even do the proper research to even know how to pronounce it. But it's spelled M-A-U-S-A. I'm going to call it Masa. But it's a health and fitness center that offers classes in jiu-jitsu, aikido, cardio, kickboxing, and yoga. They are located at 759 Washington Avenue in Brooklyn. Black-owned health and fitness center. That's important. Soul Through Soul is a New York City-based dance company that encourages sisterhood, freedom, and empowerment through movement. The main objective is to provide sort of a safe space for women to heal and celebrate who they are and rejoice through music, which is a beautiful thing. Their website is Soul Through Soul. SoulThruSoul.com. And the Instagram is soul.through.soul. That's a tongue twister. And I actually took one of their classes. My best friend actually danced in a recital they did. I think it was the beginning of this year, or was it last year? But it was a dance recital. But her class, Trey, shout out to her. It is very empowering. You know, before we learn a choreography, you know, we stand in a circle and she'll ask like a question, you know, how are you feeling today? What's your mood? Give me one word to describe. And it is empowerment because it's all women of all shades, women of all sizes dancing. And it's a zone where you're not being judged. And if you're a dancer, I know when you go to places like, you know, a Broadway Dance Center or even Ripley Studios for certain people's dance classes is very competitive. But this is a safe space. And, you know, the energy is just very refreshing. As Black women, when it comes to our mental health, to have sort of an outlet, especially through dance and just having fun and feeling good. And like, it's like the energy is just a breath of fresh air. You know, I remember I went to her class, and I'll be honest, I was going through depression. I can call it now. It was depression. I didn't know it was depression at the time. And, you know, I was in the house. If you watch Euphoria, you know when Rue was, like, under the covers watching TV for, like, a mad day straight. That was literally me not going to work for 2 weeks. And I realized I was always tired. Took her class, and I walked in. Whatever I was feeling, I don't know what it was, but I just felt like it was a chip off my shoulder. That's energy, y'all. That's a vibe. And I think you guys should definitely look into it. It's dope. The last business I want to shout out is Soulful, which is my best friend, Ashley. This is her company. It's a Brooklyn-based charity organization that gives back footwear to children and adults in shelters, as well as children in the foster care system. The goal is to basically make New York City a more giving community, you know, through donations. So her Instagram, well, the Instagram for the company is at SoulfulNYC, SoulfulNYC. So these are just a couple of back-owned businesses I know of, people who actually answered my request to send me something about your business. And if you're listening and you want more information on these businesses, if you feel like I should have mentioned you, DM me on either of my Instagrams, either my company page, c.connectionmedia, or my personal Instagram, gion.mc. And I have no problem shouting you out on my page. You know, I'm not really good on my company page with posting, but listen, I'll formulate a personalized ad for you if you feel like, or you missed the memo to send in your information. I have no problem with doing that. That's my way of supporting. You know, if I have the money, I buy a shirt. No problem. If it's too expensive, I'm not going to tell you to give me a discount or change your price. Your price is your price. If I can afford it, I can't. I'll support it in other ways, like I said. But hit me up if you want to talk about it. So the last segment, of course, as y'all know, is the Black Fact. You know, every episode I do, I try to bring it all back. Bring it back to something in history, how it relates to something in history that, you know, has something to do with us. Because as I said in previous episodes, we don't get the right history. We don't get the right lessons about our culture. And for today's Black Fact, it would be a disservice to all of you tuning into my podcast to not talk about none other than Black Wall Street. Mainly because the story not only is it not well known, but the story has not been told in a manner worthy of its importance. So here I am to spread the knowledge. So let's go back. It's the year 1921. And the Tulsa, Oklahoma's Greenwood District, aka Black Wall Street, is one of the most prosperous African-American communities in the United States. Yes, you heard it here. In 1921, we had a Black community of banks, hotels, cafes, movie theaters, and an entire school system for Black children in 1921, the Roaring Twenties. It was even reported that 6 Black families owned their own planes. And Oklahoma only had 2 airports at that time. 6 Black families owned their own planes, y'all. In 1921, we owned planes. Like, bitches had, I'm about to say jets, but they had planes flying. Like, I don't think y'all understand how important that is. But anyway, I guess the shit they not teaching us in school, but let me go back into the mood. Boom. We had a system in place to create generational wealth. But as per usual, here comes domestic white terrorism causing Black disposition. So before we get to this and the destruction of Black Wall Street, let me first explain how this community came about. In 1906, a wealthy African-American from Arkansas named O.W. Gurley, don't come for me. He's a fucking goat, period. He moved to Tulsa and purchased over 40 acres of land that he made sure was only sold to other African-Americans. So the creation of Black Wall Street was intentional. It wasn't by accident. We just didn't happen to just be one community, but it was intentionally supposed to be what it was. You know, we had the wealthiest Black community in the United States thriving, and were also patronized, but not just Blacks, but whites as well. Now here's the bullshit. 19-year-old Dick Rowland, who was a shoe shiner, was accused of assaulting 17-year-old Sarah Page. And before you ask, yes, she is. Sidebar, I will definitely be doing an episode on white fragility and white tears and how they are literally the bane of the Black experience. Every time a white woman cries, a Black man dies. And it's annoying. It's really annoying. Like, it's a pattern in history. But anyway, so Dick, took the elevator at a nearby building to use the restroom. And at the time, Sarah was the elevator operator on duty. Nobody knows what happens in that elevator but those two. And yet, it resulted in Sarah accusing Dick of sexually assaulting her. She never pressed charges, by the way. Let me just add that. She never pressed charges, but her accusing him was enough. The damage is already done. And we're talking back then, y'all, the 1920s. So he is taken into custody on May 31st, 1921, and an armed white mob, go figure, gathered outside the courthouse where he is held, and they were literally posted up waiting for him to come out. So word gets back to the black folks. They hear about this, and you know lynching was a real thing back then. They were worried. So they armed themselves, and they pull up to the courthouse, determined to protect him. Like, what's up? We here. Like, we got his back. What's good? Next thing you know, shots are fired, a riot broke out, and 10 whites and 2 blacks were killed. Once the other whites, if you're listening, let me just add this addendum. If you're listening and me saying whites or saying blacks, if that makes you cringe, I apologize. I don't know how other way to address. I don't want to say Caucasians. I don't want to say African-Americans, because then I'm trying to force myself to be too politically correct. So just you know, get any personal feelings you have out of it and just listen. So back to the story. So once the other whites hear about their fellow people dying, they decide to rampage through the black neighborhood that same night and the next day. Please note that these white men were provided guns by local police officers who too participated in the riot. So thousands of white men were killing black men and women and children, as well as burning and looting stores and homes. And it's funny because every time there's a black riot, they try to make it seem like black people, like when Rodney King got killed, not got killed, when he got beat by the cops, they try to make it seem like it was just the black people looting. No. White people got them some shit too. They was up in there too. They just, you know, the news just happened to not have the camera on them. They got them some shit too. But let's go back. So airplanes that were used in World War I were dispatched firing rifles at residents and dropping firebombs on the black community. So as much as some of these black residents tried to fight back, they were outnumbered. Like, you got planes used in war attacking your community. We ain't winning that. We are not winning that. Even though we had planes too, but they got war planes. We ain't got that much power. So as much as, I don't know, telling this story is like cringy to me because I think it's really sad. And the fact that these are all facts, and nothing has been done to sort of tell this version of the story. Like, when we hear Black Wall Street, we just hear like, oh, it was a community that got destroyed by whites. That's it. I didn't know until I started reading books and learning that it started because of a black guy being accused of sexual assault by a white woman. And it's kind of like, why does shit always start like that? So, but anyway, by the end, close to 300 blacks were murdered. About 10,000 blacks were left homeless. And property damage amounted to more than $1.5 million in real estate and $750,000 in personal property. And that's in today, that's $32 million in our money. When I say our money, like our time frame of money. But by 1942, you know, the remaining black residents had rebuilt Greenwood without any assistance from the state. None. Oklahoma did not help them. And I don't want to say this was a riot. This was terrorism. This was genocide. And it sucks. It's bullshit. So if you didn't know about Black Wall Street, and this is your first time hearing about it, I'm honored to be the one to be the first one to tell you about it. If you're listening and you feel like I left something out, because I kind of just summarized it, again, DM me. I'm open to all thoughts. But this just goes to show that when we think about Black Wall Street, the idea that black people can't have nothing is bullshit. You know, we can. We've had it before. We've had it at a time where we weren't even expected to succeed. We didn't get our 40 acres and a mule, but we still had a community that was intentional. So we can still do that, especially now today. We can do that. So it's not like it's impossible. So by supporting black-owned businesses, we can create this community. We can be just as functioning as the Jewish community. We can. We just have to get out of our own ways, y'all. Like, I understand we are so conditioned to think a certain way about our own that, you know, we can't get out of our way, out of our thoughts. And, you know, I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but we can. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I just want to announce, though, on Sunday, August 11th, my media company is not only sponsoring, but I will also be hosting, for the first time, my brother Dom Alexander's company, Swim NYC, which is an acronym for Say What You Mean. He has a benefit. Oh, my God. I had coffee, so I'm just, like, all over the place. He has a benefit concert going down at the Hudson Station at 449th Avenue, Sunday, August 11th. The goal is to raise $2,500, and the mission is to find creatives and entrepreneurs to work with and empower our youth to become self-aware and self-sufficient. And just to encourage them, you know, if you want to be a rapper, let me teach you the right way to be a rapper. If you want to be a singer, let me teach you the right way to be a singer. If you want to be anything creative, let me teach you by having people who are doing it basically tell you the things they wish someone told them when they were young. And there will be giveaways, raffles, drinks, food, and some amazing app performances from some talented-ass artists. Doors open at 4 p.m., and the event will start at 5. And this is my first time hosting something, and I'm so excited about it because I get to have this energy on stage. So please come check it out. And I would love to meet some of my listeners, you know, chop it up for a bit. But if you want to come, you can RSVP at the link on his Instagram page at Mr. Alexander _. And he spells Alexander, not D-E-R, ends in D-R-E. So I don't know if he's trying to say Mr. Alexandre. It's Mr. Alexander. So it's at Mr. Alexander _. And like I said, I want to meet some of my listeners. Chop it up. Make sure y'all follow my company page at c.connectionmedia for a daily rundown of current events, global news, world news, U.S. news. I post 5 things every morning, Monday through Friday, of things that you need to know that's going on in politics, that's going on in entertainment, anything, stuff that's important that we need to know. And I just summarize it so that, you know, we can stay informed. We can stay up to date with stuff. Because I know the news makes, it's really depressing watching the news. So when I post my daily rundown, a lot of people say, can you post something positive? And it's kind of like, I can, but this is the reality we live in. So I'll try to post some inspirational shit. But every Monday through Friday, I post it. Make sure y'all follow me at gion.mc, J-I-O-N-N-E. Also, sponsor my podcast, anchor.fm/sorry-not-sorry. Help me out. Let's get some merchandise. Let's support a Black-owned business. And if you got anything you want to talk about with me about this episode, come in my DMs. Thank y'all for tuning in.